Ron and Sandy Weislow feel like they're living the American dream.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Only in America.
In December of 1985, Sandy Weislow was teaching Spanish in the St. Paul Public Schools. Her husband, Ron, a 49-year-old manager for Control Data, was about to become one of the thousands the struggling company laid off. Sandy remembers it in detail.
It was the Friday that winter break started, and I came in from school, and there he was in the kitchen. I went, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I got my pink slip." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No," and he showed it to me. So we said, "Okay." And we went for a walk that night, and it was snowing like the devil. And I said, "We're going to make it or break it now."
The Weislows launched communication mailing services to fill what Ron thought was a need in St. Paul for someone to process bulk mailings. Today, their facility resonates with the clacks and clicks of complex and expensive machines. Some fold flyers, others stuff them in envelopes or print mailing addresses. Sandy recalls that Ron initially thought they wouldn't have to pay for a lot of pricey equipment.
And I said, "Well, this is what we need, because I've been in this business and all we need are three small machines. That's all we need, honey. And we'll go from there." I said, "Okay." And he gave me the price. He went out the next week and started pricing. He came back and I was like an ice pick in my eye. And I said, "Okay, but we can do it."
The budding business survived the stock market crash of 1987 and the recession of 1990 and 91. Sandy spent 7 years both teaching and helping the new business before she felt safe leaving the classroom to join Ron full-time.
The first 5 years were just hell, to be honest. Very scary, even more than five, but especially those first five.
The Weislow story reflects key forces in the long economic boom. They built a business from an idea and now provide jobs for more than 40 people. Sales have grown by at least 20% a year and are expected to exceed $2 million this year. Entrepreneurs like the Weislows have played a major role in fueling economic growth and soaring stock prices. And the run-up in stock prices has improved the typical family's balance sheet. More families own stock and their holdings are worth more. From 1992 to 1998, the median net worth of all families jumped by more than one quarter to nearly $72,000. Lewis Johnston, assistant professor of economics at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University, says the rising popularity of 401k retirement plans has helped make us a nation of investors.
This allows people to move their money around and put into whatever asset they want, a stock, a bond. So people pay attention. They watch the financial pages. They do things like day trading. They actually participate in a way that it used to be only the fat cats used to do.
With the bull market have come higher consumer confidence and more spending on big-ticket items like jewelry, airplanes, and boats. The trends are showing up here at the Boathouse, Dale Hedke's nearly two-year-old shop in St. Paul, where he sells a variety of smaller boats, including do-it-yourself kayak kits for about $800.
Business is booming. We're selling boat kits and ready-made boats and vintage boats and antique outboards and sailing materials, and it's crazy.
Hedke says the economy is providing a nice tailwind.
I don't have people coming in saying, "Oh, we feel real good about business," but you just can see it in their overall attitude. They're feeling like they have the disposable income. They've got some time sometimes to do some building or at least to take some trips.
The booming economy is pushing people into higher income brackets, and the ranks of people earning less than $25,000 a year are slowly thinning. Economist Lewis Johnston says since the early 1980s, most income gains went to the top wage brackets. But since 1995, the rising tide is lifting boats in the middle.
Since the mid-1990s, with productivity growth improving, middle class incomes have, at worst, stayed the same. And so they've not gotten any lower than they were, say, 20 or 30 years ago. They've actually started to expand.
Census Bureau figures indicate average household income has risen across the board from 1995 to 1998. In the first half of the decade, income levels were flat or down slightly for all but the top 20%. But Cornell University economist Robert Frank looks at the data and sees a middle class under growing financial pressure.
The boom has been a wonderful thing in many ways, but it hasn't showered benefits equally upon everyone.
Frank says while a larger percentage of people own stock and those holdings are worth more, people in the middle just don't own a lot of stock. Gains have been concentrated in households with incomes above $50,000. And Frank contends the purchasing power of middle-income earners hasn't changed much since the 1970s. At the same time, he says, the rising wealth and spending at the top pressures people in the middle to spend more to keep up. Frank notes that the average new house size has grown since the 1970s, when it was 1,500 square feet.
Last year, the average new house built in the United States was 2,200 square feet. And that means that someone with essentially the same purchasing power had to buy a 50% larger house. So that's extra financial stress on the person in the middle, however you slice it.
In the last 3 years, Americans have taken on more debt, are spending more of their income to pay it off, and more people are in debt-related financial distress, according to the Federal Reserve. Even Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan, who many regard as chief architect of the current prosperity, notes that rapid technological change is fueling workers' fears about their jobs. In spite of tight labor markets, worker insecurity is greater than during the depth of the 1991 recession. But many more statistics point to an economic zeitgeist that's more zoomy than gloomy. Along with the stock market, luxury spending and home ownership are up, as is consumer confidence, though it slipped recently. Black teen unemployment and inflation are down. The prevailing mood is more like the Weislows, who feel they can relax and enjoy life more.
Now everything is always, where are we going? What are we, where are we going next? What are we doing? How do we grow? But not how do we stay in business? Yeah. That's a big change.
Luckily, we have our health, and luckily, we can do things we never did before. And, yeah, definitely good times.
Ron and Sandy Weislow of Communication Mailing Services in St. Paul. I'm Bill Catlin, Minnesota Public Radio.